We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha la 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 la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God. It's just.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah, welcome.
We hope you enjoyed that 5.5-minute rant about Steven on how the socio-political environment of America is very imbalanced right now.
Yeah, I mean, that was such a great speech of mine, except for I think I might not have pressed record before I started talking about that. So
Jesus Christ, dude. I was in tears.
I know. I don't even know if I can remember exactly what I said, but I don't even know if I could say it.
I don't think we should go back into it.
I don't want to cry again. Yeah, no, that's fair. So I guess we should just go on with our show then.
Yep. We are Soul of a Gamer podcast. I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And every week we play a game, we tell you about the making of the game, and we give you our little review of what we thought the game, or what we thought, how we thought the game did.
Yeah, that's what we do.
We do hope you enjoyed our last week's episode.
Can't.
I am the worst at this.
Oh, man, I can't remember either, actually. It was, I feel like we didn't like it.
We didn't. It was Squirrel with a Gun, wasn't it?
Yeah, Squirrel with a Gun. Yes. We did not like it.
Swag.
Swag.
With a Gun. Swag.
Yeah, I had to point that out to Steven, and he's like, wait, it does?
It's so stupid.
It is, but
I love it.
It's kind of
like, I didn't realize Flow Rider spelled Florida for the longest fucking time, and I felt like such a fucking idiot. Someone pointed that out to me.
That was Steven. That was Steven.
Flow Rider. Florida.
I mean,
I wonder, did he do that on purpose, or is that just like...
Yeah, I think he's from Florida.
No, that's stupid. Not a great thing to be proud of, like.
I mean, some people do that. I mean, we got 303. They're proud of being from Boulder.
Yeah, but that's a little bit, you know, they're not spelling out fucking Boulder.
I mean, fair.
You know what I mean? Like, if
I mean,
they
it's
were
better
spelling
than calling
out
yourself
Boulder,
Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, see, if they were doing something stupid like that, then I'd be like, that's fucking dumb. But 303, at least, you only really get it if you're from the area code. So
That's fair.
But Flow Rida is very fucking on the nose, you know? That's just
it's a
like,
little too on the nose.
I'm representing Florida. Here I come. Wait, that's not east side. So what is that? Southeast side. Where all the fucking true gangsters are. You know, I'd get Atlanta because a lot of rappers came out of Atlanta, but fucking Florida? Really?
I mean, Florida, man. That's the best thing out of Florida.
That's the best he's got. All right, well, let's just start this off with talking about what games we've been playing this last week. Steven, what the fuck have you been playing?
Well, the fuck I've been playing, I actually got onto Avatar Frontier of Pandora.
Oh, nice. I've heard that's really good, actually.
Yeah, it's Ubisoft made it, and it's a tie-in to the actual movies, Avatar, the James Cameron Avatar, not to be confused with the Avatar The Last Airbender. But this game's actually like really incredible. It really kind of meshes so well with the Far Cry formula. And honestly, playing as a Na'vi was really fucking cool. Like, you get to feel the height. Like, I've never had a character just be so tall, like, all the time. Because like, a lot of times when you're playing taller characters, you're fighting against taller characters. But this is like the time where you're like, humans look so insignificant to you. And the traversal of the map is actually really cool, and the colors and everything. It's vibrant as hell. It's pretty sweet, actually. Story's a little meh, but as far as the gameplay and the vibrancy, it's just awesome.
I don't think with that kind of story, you're going to really care about it. Sometimes when it's already a pre-existing story, I just don't care.
Yeah, I'm glad that they didn't stay with, like, you're not playing as Jake Sully or anything like that. Like, he's had one, like, 3-second cameo in the game so far, and I'm like maybe 5 hours into it. So okay. It has nothing really to do with him, which I really appreciated, actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
Any relation to, wait, what's his name? Jake Foley?
Jake Soley.
Oh, Soley. I thought you were going to say Foley. I was going to say, any relation to Matt Foley?
My name's Matt Foley.
And that would have been great. You're going to end up on a steady diet of government cheese and live in a van down by the river.
Just so, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river. He got so good. If you guys have never seen that, please go out and watch that. Van Down by the River. It's one of the best SNL skits of all time.
And gets everyone to break.
No. Yeah. Yep. Well, I've been playing, finally, I have decided to start Card Shop Simulator.
Ah, nice.
I've been having so much fun. Yes, it's so much fun. Oh, God. Dude. I'm 36 days in, I think. I'm at level like 24 or 23. I'm getting there. I'm doing my due diligence. I've probably put like 20 hours in over this last week.
Nice. I think I'm level like 41 in the game or something now. Or I'm on day 41. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I think I'm like level like 25 or somewhere around there.
Yeah, once you start getting up there, man, it starts taking a long fucking time to level.
It's ridiculous. But if you really start getting the money flowing a lot more, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I know you talked about earlier doing the Pokemon mod. Did you actually do that, or are you playing the regular?
No, I ended up doing the original. So I found out that whoever made the Pokemon mod did make a VR control scheme for it, so he could play his VR on Steam. So like, you know, when you can hook up your VR to Steam directly and play Steam games. But on the Oculus itself, I could hook it up and I could download the mod and get the stuff, but you know, my room's not very big, so I don't want to do that.
That's fair.
When he did that, that's really cool, but I decided I wanted to play it at its base form.
Yeah.
See how
it's pretty cool in its base form still.
Yeah. And it's still like a preview, I think, is what I've read.
Oh, that makes sense.
So there should be a lot more coming out in it.
Nice.
And I'm assuming they're still doing updates. I didn't look at the Steam record of when the last update was, but I bet they're still doing updates.
I hope so. I mean, I've been having a ton of fun with it, but like we've already said, we kind of like these simulator games quite a bit.
Yeah. You know, it's inspired me. I might go, because, you know, I do some computer programming, and I've been wanting to create a game.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to do a card game. Because one thing I think would be really cool, guys, like, you know, we open up Pokemon packs and we like that shit, and we open up Yu-Gi-Oh! And One Piece and all that crap, and it's really fun, but it gets really pricey. And I'd love to make a free-to-play game where you're playing cards against people, like online, but new cards are getting released. So the problem with all the games out there right now is they're coinciding with something that already exists. So the Pokemon TCG has their own, Yu-Gi-Oh! Has their own, One Piece now has their own. Like, Magic. I'd love to make just a fucking phone game where the content is only released in the phone.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Yeah. So you collect all these cards. Maybe you open up your own little, like, mini shop where you could sell your singles that you got that you don't want to use but really like.
That would be cool. I think there needs to be more of that. Like,
yeah.
Because even in, like, the Magic and stuff world, it'd be really cool, like, if you had, like, a digital version of Magic where you could buy everything, you could play online with people, but you could also buy, sell, and trade online.
Yeah, I think that would be so fucking sweet. Maybe you and I just start sitting down and thinking up concepts of a card game.
I'm 100% down, dude. Especially if we did something like a comedy style or something.
Yeah,
or something.
That would be great. Could the Soul of a Gamer card game or something? I don't know. We'll figure it out. It'll be coming in the coming like 10 years or something.
Speaking of VR, though, I kind of wanted to shout out this. I saw this recently. I saw that there's a fan out there that actually made the Halo 1 PC port and turned it into a fully functioning VR game.
Oh,
and
that's
cool.
You can
download this mod now and fully play the entirety of Halo 1 Combat Evolved in VR.
God, that would
and
be...
Everyone
says
it's
like
amazing.
I feel like it would be really nauseating. I don't know why. Maybe the graphics will make it not nauseating, but when I do shooters in VRs, I feel like I'm just like nauseated the entire time.
That's fair. No, that's fair.
I tried playing Population 1 and I really liked it.
Okay.
But, you know, it's a Battle Royale style VR game, and it would be cool if more people I knew played it, but...
That's fair. I think the best VR game I've played so far still is Super Hot, as far as gunplay goes.
Super Hot.
Yep. But yeah, just thought that really cool. So let's go in and get into the game. Tell us about
the game. There's our shout out for the week. Yep, let's just jump right into this. Starting with, you know, story of the game. Pacific Drive is a driving survival game that takes the player into the Olympic Exclusion Zone, a place walled off by the government agency ARDA due to experiments conducted there. The player is dragged into the zone and must use a mysterious station wagon to find a way out.
Yeah, it's a real shaggin' wagon.
It is. The making of the game starts in 2019. Alex Draycott founded the company Ironwood Studios. He first came up with the idea of Pacific Drive after taking a trip in the Pacific Northwest. He grew up in Washington State and lived in Seattle for some time. He would remember taking trips as a kid to places in that area and started doing the same randomly as an adult. One of these trips, the idea of the game came to fruition. He says on the theme of the game, the Northwest, it can be very sullen and rainy. And when that hits on a lonely road where you're on your own and the radio is playing a certain tune, it can be really memorable. Which I really like that idea. That is a great fucking inspiration for a game.
Oh, yeah. No,
just
seriously.
Like literally being on a road, it's raining, the radio is playing like some crappy song from the 50s or 60s, and you're just like, this is like true peace. There's no one in the car with me. I'm just driving down this road. I have all my thoughts to myself. Mm-hmm. This is fucking amazing.
That is always such a pristine moment of the night where you're just all alone.
Yeah, and it's just awesome that came from that moment came a game out, and it really does. Honestly, this game really does express that moment a lot, guys.
Oh, it really does.
He wanted to keep the game independent and work on it by himself, but after coming up with more solid ideas for the game, he realized that he would need help in creating it. He soon gathered a team and began work on the game. Draycott knew in the beginning that he wanted the game to feature zones. He drew inspiration from books like Annihilation and the Stalker series. These books feature supernatural or unnatural zone exploration.
Annihilation especially. Holy crap, that's crazy.
I haven't read either thing.
I've seen the movie Annihilation. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's a cool, again, another cool inspiration jumping into like a zone kind of thing. It almost reminds me of early or the first, what is it called? Phantasy Star.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever played the Phantasy Star
games.
Yeah, they're fun. But in the first one, you're not really in zones, but you kind of are. Like each individual biodome is its own zone, and I've always thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Draycott explains that in zone stories, the reader is not presented with all the facts on what happened in the area, which in his opinion makes the story worthwhile in the zone more. Oh, the story while. I was like, what am I doing adding words? Sorry, I'm going to reread that. Draycott explains that in zone stories, the reader is not presented with all the facts on what happened in the area, which in his opinion makes the story while in the zone more compelling.
He got through it, guys.
Got it. Draycott says on this, there's a literal history where we uncover every single detail about why this world is the way it is. Or sorry, there's not a literal history the way it is. It's much more about the individual micro stories, the story of a person, the story of a single weird anomaly.
True.
And there's some really clear alignment there between that and the kind of tales we have in the Northwest and the general mood of being out in the woods. One of the biggest parts of Pacific Drive is the station wagon the player is given as a mode of travel in the game. Oh, okay. Sorry, that's me now. I'm like, where did this quote end? And I even put the end there and I still missed it. One of the biggest parts of Pacific Drive is the station wagon the player is given in the mode of travel in the game. When thinking of the idea of the station wagon, Draycott wanted it to be a sort of character that the player would interact with. Almost telling a love story between the player and the car, which I thought was really fun.
Yeah, that's fair.
In telling the story, the team thought it would be important to have more actions to do while in the driver's seat of the car. One thing that happens in almost every driving game is they automate many things that people have to do in real cars. This includes starting the car, putting it in drive or park, and activating the windshield wipers. With Pacific Drive, Draycott wanted to make it so the player would have some interaction with the car. This way, the player could actually feel closer to the car without having the dialogue that would normally draw two characters closer together.
Yep.
Yeah, which, again, is amazing symbolism there. Like, honestly, they did a really good job in illustrating what they wanted and then portraying what they wanted. Like, it's really interesting.
I mean, first time I got in the car, I just like, oh, I have to actually start it. I have to take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out for like 5 minutes. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? What do I do?
I was like, what do I do?
Because oh, it also like, doesn't give you shit. Prompts to say what to do, which mm-hmm. I thought was funny.
Yeah,
Draycott did explain that he needed to be careful about overdoing the intricacies of what to do with the car. He did not want people who did not know cars well to feel like they had to learn how to put together an engine.
That's
Instead,
fair.
He wanted to make the car approachable. He was never a car guy himself, but loved watching Top Gear because he felt the people on the show made the process of fixing a car approachable for a mainstream audience.
Fair.
He made sure the game was easy when it came to replacing parts. One of the funnier things the team did, which is fucking, this is really fucking weird, was make a giant Excel sheet filled with strange things that cars that they have or have had in the past have done. Oh, nice. Cool. One of the things was when this guy's car would drive over 40 miles per hour on a gravel road, the headlights would turn on by themselves. Like, it's so specific, too. It's got to be a gravel road. Like, it's just funny.
I mean, the kind of quirky shit with cars happen like that all the time. Like, I had a car mm-hmm. that at one point just stopped being able to go in reverse. It could do anything else mm-hmm. but just couldn't go to reverse.
It was acting up against your abuse.
Exactly.
Another was the windows of a car would get stuck at a certain point unless it was raining. So every window in his car would always get stuck at the same place.
So it needs some lubrication.
It may probably. The game was released February 22nd, 2024, a very important day in the history for the podcast.
Yeah, it is.
What's important about it, Steven?
Is that when we revamped or something?
That is my birthday.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I was God. Like, oh, that's cool. This
you
game
said
came
it
out
was
on
for
my
the podcast, so I was like thinking about something for the podcast, not no, anything no. about our
yes,
personal
yes.
shit. God damn it.
She tricked
me. It came out to generally favorable reviews, and it was also nominated for Best Debut Indie Game at the Game Awards that are being held this upcoming week.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll have an update next week when we record our next episode and see if it actually won Best
yes.
Debut Indie Game. But
yes, we definitely will. And we'll also have to hear you guys' arguments on whether DLCs should be up for Game of the Year.
Are they up for the Game of the Year? I didn't know that.
Shadow of the Erdtree is.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right. Well, yeah, that's the story. It's a shorter story, guys. It's a long game, technically.
Yeah.
But the guy, like, if you read the interviews, they're almost exactly carbon copied from each other.
Interesting.
I read like 8 interviews with this guy, and he says the exact same thing 8 separate times. I'm like, damn, dude, you got your story fucking straight.
I mean, he prepared.
It almost
his story
sounds like
he
murdered
it.
Someone.
Maybe he did, and he's hiding it in the game somewhere.
Maybe.
We have to find the secret of the death.
Right.
It's an effects machine.
Well, let's jump into the best of the worst. The best
right.
and the
best
worst.
And the worst. Yep. So obviously, one of the best parts of this game for me is the scrapping and building of the car. The car stuff
I would
itself,
say so, too.
It's so much fun. It's kind of like annoying a little bit at first because of how much you have to repair it and how much,
yeah. well, and how
like,
much...
you don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, like... There is definitely a big learning curve when jumping
yes.
into this game, guys. Like, I say big. It's not that big. It's just,
yeah.
It's at least 20-minute time where you're just looking at shit and exploring shit with not a lot of direction from the game itself.
Yes. And kind of, like, depending on how you play the game, like, if you really read a lot of the stuff, you might figure out some stuff earlier. But if you're just, like, going out and exploring, it might take you mm-hmm. a little bit longer to figure stuff out. That was my example. Like, it took me a while to figure out a lot of the stuff with the fabrication machine and upgrading
yeah.
and stuff until I, mm-hmm. like, went out and explored quite a bit. And I was like, I'm getting drilled. I need to figure something out.
Yeah.
Other best parts of the game. I love how the game can go from these calm, peaceful moments, like we were kind of saying, with, like, the driving in the rain at night,
mm-hmm.
being all alone to your thoughts, but then also have mad car dashes to a portal before you lose everything and die. Like,
yep.
it flips in a switch so fast sometimes, and it's
Or you're just,
chaotic.
Like, you're driving nice and fine, and then a storm rolls in, and the storm, like, hurts you, so you have to be careful.
Yes. You're wanting to really explore and get a lot of scraps, but then acid rain's happening the entire time, and you didn't bring a lot of health packets with you, so you're like,
yeah.
fuck, I have to just leave this mission early. Like, fuck.
Yeah. One of the worst things for me was maybe a little bit more automation would have been nice. One of the things that happens whenever you get out of your car in this game is the passenger side car door open.
So that's a quirk. You can get that fixed.
I know it's a quirk, and I know you can get it fixed later, but in the beginning, it is very fucking annoying.
I agree 100%.
Because I was like sitting there like, why the fuck are you opening your fucking door? Stop opening. Because then like you'd forget and then you'd like hit something and your door would get destroyed and you're like, God damn it.
So many times I forgot and had to jump back out of my car. And then like sometimes even forgetting to put it into park or like just anything, like any amount of like the chaos in this game is pretty crazy because you can just be like going to explore, like ripping apart a car and then all of a sudden just like get attacked by a bunch of like anomalies. And your car just like little gets ones, blasted into the air, or these bunnies take it and start driving it off somewhere else.
Yep.
And you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Like, it's weird because the worst parts of the game are also the best parts of the game. Those random moments when that shit happens. Just the automation, some of it should be automated just for ease of access for the player. It's called, is it called? Quality of life for the player. The quality of life for the player has to be at a certain point. And when it goes under that point, the player feels like they're doing too fucking much in a game.
Yeah. Typically, I don't like a lot of hand-holding in game, but I think this game does need a little bit more.
I think it needs a little bit, like teaching you how to tinker earlier. To me, even just adding the trunk opening up when you get out of the car would have been a good fucking thing in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Because you know you're going to be putting shit in the trunk the entire game, so why not just have that automatically happen? Why not have that quirk be on the trunk? Why does it have to be on the passenger side?
Sure. Just to annoy you and piss you off and make you want to fix
exactly.
it.
And I get it. It's funny. Like, it is kind of funny. But at the same time, I think the quality of life would have been much higher if the back opened automatically.
Yeah. Another quality of life thing that I would really want to get changed in this game is some of the UI screens, especially the Tinkerer screen, where it's just red on top of red. It's really hard to fucking see. It is terrible. And anyone who is colorblind, I heard this is extraordinary terrible.
I would agree. And also on top of that, I'm gonna add one more thing. The brightness of this game is really fucking low, guys. Like,
it is.
And there's no flashlight.
Yeah, well, there is.
So there's the flares you can use in the beginning. I don't know if you get a flashlight later. I didn't get that far in the game. I played
there's
about 10
sort
hours
of flashlight kind of thing.
Yeah, but you could use flares in the beginning to light up a room, but instead of that, I just cranked the brightness all the way up. Because the game doesn't look that different with the brightness cranked to max.
Okay. Maybe I should have tried that,
too. It is so much easier. I get they're trying to do, like, a scary feeling. But the game never felt scary to me. It just, it feels more, like, anomalous.
It definitely felt eerie for me at times. Yeah. And especially the first times going into some of these worlds and seeing some of these anomalies, I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And didn't want to go near it. But when I realized there wasn't as much danger as I thought there was, it got less and less scary as I went on.
For sure. And I don't know, just the quality of life to me for that brightness, I think they could have turned that up a tiny bit. I don't think those shacks had to be as dark as they were. And it's not like, I'm not saying it's because I was too scared. It's just this is literally a game where you're looking for shit to rebuild your car.
Yeah.
And you miss something and then you're pissed because you missed something important that you needed to do something, you know?
Yeah. Well, I do know there is a reliable flare that you can have, and then I think counts more as a flashlight, or you can turn it on and turn it off.
That's cool. I never got a relightable flare. I just got the regular ones, but it was just a pain in the ass to hold all those fucking flares all the time.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, I stopped even carrying the flares a lot of the times, because I was just like, I could just, whatever, yada yada this
around.
Once
I raised the brightness, I didn't need them anymore. Like, honestly, it changed everything. The only thing that was bad about it is there's one machine... trying to remember it's like
a lightning blue, like tower thing.
No, it's one of the machines in your garage that I think it's a decal one.
Oh, okay.
That has like a very bright
UI screen.
Yeah, so when you're in there and the brightness is cranked up, you can't tell what you're
doing. That's fair.
That's the only thing though that was bad about that. Otherwise, I would just crank the brightness up in this game.
All right, well, you got anything else for best and the worst?
I really love the exploration of this game. It was fucking sweet. I love survival games. And if you don't know what a survival game, think Minecraft, think Grounded.
Fallout.
Games are, you have to go out, you have to collect things in order to build shit.
Yeah, I really like the scrapping in this. The scrapping in this was really good. All the different tools you get for scrapping and all the different ways you can
It's
repair.
Not just automatic, which I really appreciated too. You know, in Minecraft, it's almost automatic. You can build a pickaxe whenever you want. You don't even need a crafting table.
Oh, another best. I almost forgot about this best. I love that the stuff around the shop that you go back to after every mission always reset. So you could always re-scrap the car that's out back. You could always like scrap the TV and radio and get electrical parts from it. You could always go to the friendly dumpster and get extra parts from it and all those extra automated stuff. So even if you had like really shitty runs multiple times, you could still get a lot of supplies just from your base camp.
Yep. And they did do the base camp really well. I really enjoyed the base camp.
I agree.
But yeah, that's about it for my best and worst.
All right. So let's go into the first few hours.
All right. First few hours. I'm going to give this a grade. I'm going to give it a passing grade, but on the lower end.
Like a high C, low B.
Yeah, high C, low B. Only because there are some things in this game that are very automatic that will come very naturally to most players, but there are other things that will not. You know, we already talked about the car and the fixing up process. That took a long time for me to understand. And then even just opening up that map to pick where you're going next, like the scout where you're going. It never explained that you only have one charge to do that with. So it's almost like, okay. And then it never really explains that even though you scouted that area, you don't have to go there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things you have to really pick up yourself in this game. And it makes it really hard sometimes to jump past it. But then the ease of access, the driving's really easy. Understanding if the collection is easy. The story is easy to follow. So I think it, for the most part, passes this test, but several components of it aren't explained well enough with a tutorial of sorts to understand the entirety of what you're doing.
I agree with everything Scott said there. I kind of feel the exact same ways. This game's learning curve is quite a bit, and I definitely say, like, definitely explore it for the first couple hours, and then maybe watch, like, a tips and trick video on YouTube or some, like, beginner's tips videos on YouTube, and you'll learn quite a bit from that, like, learning like which upgrades to get first definitely does help. Like getting the off-road tires is one of the best things you can get first and foremost. And it's so easy. Or being able to get the device that you can like take parts off of other cars. Because finding armored pieces and stuff really early on and really armoring up your car right away can be very beneficial too. So there's a lot of different like small things that if you know, it can be really beneficial early game. But if you don't know, it's kind of hard to figure it out on your own.
Yeah. And this is a game, guys, by the way, we've changed up a little bit of how we do stuff. We're going to decide how many hours we put into a game.
Yeah.
We're going to play those hours. And if we get past those hours, great. If we don't, then we know that the game wasn't very good to make it past those hours.
True.
But this is definitely a game where I will go back and finish it because it is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm the same way. Yeah. And this is definitely a little bit longer of a game, too, and one I want to put a lot more hours into. Just have to have the free time to be able to do it.
Yeah, this is one of those where you can get lost really. You could spend 10 hours without making any story progress in this game. Like, it's really, it's really funny.
Especially if you're bad and not knowing how to deal with the anomalies.
All right, well, let's jump right into Hunt
Steve
for the Edge, or is it? Oh, Steve Achieves.
Steve Achieves. All right, so this game is about 20 hours long, and it is about 48 hours to 100 complete this game.
How many dog years is that?
Not even one. The smallest of a percent of one.
All right, fly hours. Let's go.
It's a 27,000 fly hours. I don't
know. Oh, damn. Fuck. That's like,
I know,
60,
right? That's ridiculous.
60 trillion flies that died.
All right. So some of my favorite achievements in this game is just walk it off. And this is for getting electrocuted, acid burned, and physically hurt in less than 1 minute.
Damn.
Right? I was like, holy shit. That's a lot of shit that bad happens.
So you just need to like...
You need to get acid rainstorm.
Yep.
Go up to an electrical enemy, like
lightning
enemy.
Yeah, and then fall from like a kind of a big height.
That, yeah. Or get hit by the saw, probably. You could do that too.
Yeah, that if the saw is around. If it's not, you could probably find like a thing 20 seconds away.
True. Another one that I just really like the title of, personal methods of creative expression are highly encouraged. And that is for fully decorating your car and painting every slot possible.
I feel like that's a Fallout Boy title.
I don't know. I wouldn't know, actually. I like Fallout Boy a lot, but I don't
I'm
know
just
that song
because they have very long song titles.
Ah, I mean, that's also true. So the next few achievements are actually ones that are all kind of Easter eggs. So the next achievement I wanted to bring up is actually
Great Scott.
It's for reaching 88 miles per hour.
Nice.
So Back to the Future reference, if you didn't get that.
There's no way that no one got that, Steven. There's literally no way.
There's some people that haven't seen it out there. I know there is.
Those people are fucking pathetic.
They need to go out and watch it is what they need to do. There's another one from Back to the Future, actually, and this achievement's called Where We're Going, We Don't Need Roads. And it's for getting airborne for more than 6 seconds.
Nice.
Then another great one is the Car of Theseus, and it's for replacing all the car's original parts. Obviously a reference to the ship of Theseus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then this one, I don't know if this is actually a reference. It's just a reference that I kind of thought might be it. There's an achievement called Streets Ahead. It's for completing a run with at least 7 different junctions in it. And in the show Community, Pierce, played by Chevy Chase, actually tries coining the term in the show Streets Ahead. There's one episode in particular, he keeps on trying to say Streets Ahead, and they're like, we're trying to coin that term. It's not going to stick. So I don't know if that's actually a reference.
I hope it is.
I hope it is too.
I hope it is. We can reach out to the guy probably through email and find out.
Let's do it. All right. So next up, we got the hunt for all the eggs. As we say, this is where we find all the secrets and Easter eggs hidden in the game. So one of the secrets that a lot of people catch on, but not everyone catches on to, is the mannequins in this game will come to you when your back is turned, but stay still while facing them as a reference to the weeping angels of Doctor Who.
From Doctor Who, yeah.
Yep. Which, when you first start noticing this, because I didn't notice this for, like, hours. Like, it was probably, like, 6 or 7 hours mm-hmm. in that I noticed that they moved. And I was like, oh, shit, what
I don't think
happening?
I noticed at all.
It's very subtle.
I started very, like, ignoring them when I ran into one by accident and it blew
up.
Yes, so.
Yes. I was the same way, so I was just like,
I'm honestly avoiding them. Because I haven't finished the game, I don't know for sure, but I kind of thought they were maybe dead people from the experiment or something.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, so
honestly.
I'm like, it could be a story-driven thing, otherwise there's no point to them.
Honestly, it's probably like one of the creepiest parts of the game, especially when you realize mm-hmm. that they move.
Only the weeping angels kill people.
Right. So I saw also a Reddit thread for Pacific Drive that user Mintberry Jin had a screenshot that said, it was from the fax machine and it said,
do you see his name? Wait, what was his name? Mintberry?
Mintberry Jin.
It's the name of the superhero from South Park.
Mintberry
Crunch.
Yeah. So he saw a screenshot from the fax machine that just said, we're just normal men. Just innocent men, which is most likely a reference to a BBC show with a puppet wolf telling his live co-host a story of him and his friends when they went out and mistakenly got questioned by the police for some drunken vandalism that they did not commit. And one of the friends was scared and drunk and was just like, we're just normal men. And the police were confused and asked, what do you mean normal men? He said, we're just innocent men. And it was a story that apparently that actor or the co-host found hilarious, so he said it in the show multiple times and it kind of stuck as a thing.
Yeah.
And so people found it in the fax machine and thought it was a reference to it.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Another Reddit user, Umbushi 99 or 999, said he saw a fax saying, this whole time I thought it was the Shredder. I've been sending top secret information. Oh shit. I don't know what this is necessarily a reference to, but I have seen lots of different Reddit posts where people are talking about this fax machine and a lot of really funny and comical things in it. So I wanted to point it out. If you are playing the game,
did you not build the fax machine?
I don't think I had yet. So
okay. I built it. I don't think there was a point to it besides like every once in a while getting a random message.
Yeah. Or I think I did build it, but I forget. I didn't like remember to keep looking at it.
Yeah, I just like every once in a while I'd look at it and I'm like, oh, this just seems useless, but maybe it's just supposed to be funny.
It's supposed to be funny is what I'm gathering from it the most. And then also, slight kind of spoilers-ish, at the final mission, there's a mannequin you can kick that sets off a chain reaction of mannequins blowing up that will just randomly spawn a random item for you.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's like this mannequin like on the edge of this cliff.
The
and
Mega
you kick
Man
it.
Blaster?
No, like one guy got a nitrous kit. One guy got like a different like special tail, oh God, rear bumper. One guy got like another random car part. Like
If I were them, I would have made it so it's like a random crazy item. Like you get a nuclear bomb.
Or
you could permanently destroy an area.
One guy said that he saw this in the game. I haven't heard or seen anything else from it, but one guy said in the back of one of the trucks, he found a door that had the Mystery Machine paint job on it.
Oh, that's cool.
And I don't know if that's actually a thing.
That
I
means that
actually
this,
found
this reality is in Scooby-Doo land.
That would be awesome. Cyber Chase 2. Pacific Truck. All right. So, yeah,
Pacific
that's what
Drive
I have
2
to...
is just going to be them
teaming
up
the Mystery Machine.
Yeah.
The Mystery Machine becomes
gang.
The next Remnant.
It could be. Or they could, like, team up with Scooby-Doo and the Globetrotters, and they're just solving some kind of fucking mystery, okay?
The Globetrotters movie short movie. That's a deep cut.
No, it's because what?
Scooby-Doo actually did have a movie with the Globetrotters. It was a short
movie. He did it like 50 times in the shows.
Oh,
Curly used to be in a bunch of the fucking episodes back in the day.
Nice. Alright, so let's go on to what it is worth.
This game is hard.
Yes.
Because it's in the weird area where I did have a lot of fun playing it, but also it kind of makes me a little nauseous.
Like, I didn't get the nauseous feeling, but I did get like the...
There's like, an exhaustion to this game that you
yes,
get from playing.
Is.
Like, and I think the exhaustion for me turned into nauseous.
That's fair. That's fair.
Nauseated feelings. But like, I think 3 hours in is when I decided, okay, I can play this game in 3 hour intervals and then I get really exhausted playing it.
That's fair. I think I was only playing in mainly 2 hour intervals.
Yeah.
Like I do 2 or 3 missions at a time, I think, typically.
So I think it's hard because I really do like the gameplay. I like the story. I like the entire thing is good, but it's hard to give this game a 4 when I know that it can't keep your attention for very long. You know, there's other games that I pick up and I play for 20 hours and I have no idea that any time has gone by at all.
Yes.
And this is just not one of those games where you won't notice time going by. You'll just be like, have I only been playing this for 20 minutes? God, it's felt like so much longer.
I think because it is so segmented and each thing is individual runs and individual missions.
And not just that there's a lot of... So in Minecraft, when you play it, and I only compare this game to Minecraft because it is that it's the base
survival
game that probably is the best one.
Yeah.
Right? By far, Minecraft has been the most successful one.
100%.
In Minecraft, you can leave your home base forever. You could just go out, explore hours at a time, could spend 6 hours exploring, come back, and you spend about like 5 minutes just putting away the shit you found.
True.
In this game, it's like, you're out exploring, you have a time limit on your exploration, so you're not out for very long. And then when you come back, it's like a 30, 40 minute process just to get your car fixed up, to put shit away, to make shit, to check the fabrication machine. Like, and I think that's where that exhaustion comes from, is just how much time you have to spend in the garage.
No, I do agree. And there's some fun to building it and stuff like that, but it does get kind of just repetitive and redundant. And obviously once you get like further and further, I think the thing that sucks with this game is it's really segmented. So like, there's segmented runs, but then there's also segmented like difficulty spikes. Like the first difficulty spikes is like when you first get like all the steel parts unlocked and the off-road tires, and then it's when you get all the armored stuff unlocked and like the tires that can never be destroyed or whatever. And then so there's like these like spikes within these spikes, and it just there's a lot of redundancy of just repairing and repairing and repairing. And it does just take forever because it's not just like simple repairs. And getting all the chemicals to the cleaning fluid, I think, needs to be, or the repairing fluid needs to be easier to get. Like the chemicals, like a lot of runs, I'd get like 4 to 6, maybe like 8 chemicals, but that only repairs 3 parts of your vehicle at a time and then it breaks.
Yep.
So, and it costs 2 chemicals. So you don't get to repair very much. So a lot of times it was easier to scrap my own pieces of my car and just create new ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which took a lot more time.
I mean, and that is something it says, like sometimes it's just easier to scrap than to repair.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. That makes no sense. But
no, it
and
really
in the real world, it really does not make any sense.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this middle of the road a 3. I think a 3 is where I'm sitting because I think it's a fun game. I just think they maybe made a mistake with how long you spent in the garage.
I was sitting and I literally wrote down 3 or 4. And depending on how this conversation was going to go with you, I was kind of wavering on whether I was going to go 3 or 4. And I actually am sticking with you on a 3.
Yeah.
I do think that this is great to pick up and do for a run. It's a great game that you can just do like, well, run a day or something like that, and you won't get too exhausted with it. Fix your car back up for tomorrow's run. It's a great way to make a car game that isn't about racing, that I have to give it a lot of props for, because there's not very many car games that aren't about racing.
No, and but this there's one very famous one.
What's that one?
Steve.
Rocket League. Oh, yeah. Rocket League. Yes. The best one. But yeah, this is just a way different kind of racing, or not racing game, different car game. And it kind of, I love and hate like the, Fortnite portals in the game, basically like have a weird relationship with that. Like I wish it didn't happen just randomly and you could actually just stay on an area forever and just get all the parts.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, that's the beauty of Minecraft. You can leave for like 10 hours and then go back and only spend 10 minutes putting your shit away.
Yeah. God. Which you do have very limited times in this game.
Yeah. So we're both sitting at a 3. It's still a good game, guys. We think that it's worth a play. It's just, you will get bored. I would recommend having something in the back burner that you can kind of de-stress yourself with after playing a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, after the first little bit, you even don't even have to really like listen to the game as much anymore.
Yeah.
Like, still, there's going to be a lot less times where people are talking further and further you get into the game. So just like play a podcast or something while playing it.
Yeah, honestly, that's what I did. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yes.
That was our weekly edition. We hope you liked it. If you did, you know, a couple things you could do for us is give us some ratings on anything you're listening to this on. We're on everything I want to say. And then if you would like to chat with us, suggest games, ask questions, just let us know how you're doing. Yeah, send us an email, soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Just, you know, reach out. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Reach out to us on Instagram or podcast as well. Or not podcast. TikTok as well, even though TikTok is probably getting banned January 19th. So we'll have to look out for that.
Yeah.
If so, we're just going to switch to YouTube Shorts and Instagram Reels for the time being until we know of a better app.
Goodbye, TikTok. Your death was calculated.
God, it's the stupidest banning ever.
Well, welcome to America.
This is America.
Have we done anything right in any sense of the word, Steve, ever?
No.
The answer
not
is always
no. Not my lifespan.
We're better than Russia. Not that that's much better. So.
We
did it. Way to go, guys. Better than China and Russia. We did it. Us and every other fucking country on the planet. Let's do it.
But if you need something to look forward to, what is our next week episode?
Next week we are playing Ape Escape.
Yes, we are.
It's a very interesting game. We're excited to talk about it.
Yes, we are.
All right, guys. All right. We'll catch you on the next episode. Bye.
Love you.
Bye. No.